When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
We actually use the Facebook route of finding sperm. I know that's been talked about on here.
Like known donor Facebook group route.
Well, it's like known donor, but it's not. So you sign like this. You sign, you get papers, and you basically, they are signing off their, basically their parental rights, and they're signing, they're protecting themselves while we're protected. And you just find someone that you want on there. And so we were going every month to this guy, and he was donating, and then we were doing the turkey basting in the car on the way home.
Wait. What? This just got super lesbian. Well, hello, y'all. Welcome to the Queer Family Podcast, the show all about family, but with gay. My name is Jamie, and I am your host, and you are listening to the show whose mission is and always has been for the past 5+ years to uplift, highlight, celebrate, and normalize our beautiful queer families in all of our beautiful, beautiful identities. And let me tell you something, this episode does just that, like they all do, but this one's fun. So I'll explain who they are. Sam and Brooke, they're a married couple from Canada who have a really interesting meeting story and love story. I love it. You have to listen to find out. Brooke is transgender and Sam is cisgender. And Sam came to the relationship with three daughters that she had through previous relationships. And so they are a beautiful blended family. And they are in the process of creating a fourth child through reciprocal IVF. But they didn't start with reciprocal. They started with a whole other situation that involved parking lot and a car and an insemination with a syringe. You have to listen. You just have to listen. It's such a good, there's so many laughs in this episode. It was a really fun one. So take a listen to their story. Before you do that, I want to talk about something I'm wearing. If you're watching the video, you'll see I'm going to stand up for all y'all. I'm wearing a shirt of a fellow podcaster who I love and support, Anna Deshawn. This is her shirt for The Cube, which is her like channel for a bunch of the podcasts that she hosts and creates. It's called The Cube, the Q-U-B-E. You got to go find The Cube, listen to all the things that Anna is doing, because Anna is a really amazing badass who's just doing all the things that I aspire to in life. She's worked so hard. Anna is just one of the people that we need to uplift and highlight. So that's, I just want to say that. So go over, check out what The Cube has to offer, and let's uplift independent creators like myself. While you're at it, go support me on Patreon at patreon.com/thequeerfamilypodcast. Just plugging myself there. Also, I have a fun promo code for you. You've heard me talk about Our Shelves, OurShelves.com. It is a book subscription company that delivers inclusive books to your door or to your school's door. And they give you all age-appropriate things. And they're constantly adding new books, new titles that are inclusive and beautiful and mwah. And I have a promo code. If you want to get some books from Our Shelves, they also do things for schools. If you want to get some books for yourself or for your school or for a baby shower, it's a beautiful baby shower gift, one of these book boxes. You just go to ourshelves.com and enter code queerfam, queerfam, because you are a part of the Queer Fam Squad. So do that. Do that, please. Ooh, and I have a little queer conundrum segment for you. Queer conundrums, those things we face that are microaggressions and sometimes huge macroaggressions that our straight counterparts don't necessarily face out there in the wild streets of the straight world. So this one is coming at you from TikTok, actually. It's from somebody whose name on TikTok is Vote Blue, and it's a good one. It's such a queer conundrum. It's one of those things that it's like, oh, what do you do? What do you do? They write, trying to buy a new mattress, having to lay down on the bed together in a store in the semi-rural South. Awful. The salesperson doesn't really know what they're seeing and says, which one of you is shopping for a bed? Do you lie? Do you tell the truth? You can't curl up together to see how it really suits how you sleep. You just lay very still and stare at the ceiling. I have been in this situation before. It is so awkward and so true. That is a perfect queer conundrum. If you have a queer conundrum that you want to share, please send a voicemail, send a text, send a TikTok message, send a DM, any way you want to. Share your queer conundrums with us. Send it to 646-470-1840, or, you know, just find us on the social at the Queer Family Podcast. Okay, want to hear all the queer conundrums. You got to listen to Sam and Brooke's story now. So Helen and Beulah, my lovely assistants who don't exist, Helen and Beulah, please roll that tape, ladies. Thank you.
Queer Family Podcast, love is love.
Hi, Sam and Brooke.
Hello. Hi.
Look at the two of you. You look wonderful over here.
Oh, thanks. So do you.
Oh, thanks. I don't have as beautiful of a background as you do. It looks like it's your anniversary behind you, the date on your wall. Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's our wedding date.
Oh, it's coming up. Happy anniversary.
Thanks. You.
Everybody at home needs to know that we all have drinks because as soon as we logged in, we asked, can we drink on this show? I was like, hell yeah, it's Friday. Let's do this. I took my wife's last beer. She doesn't know it yet because she's at work. And I'm drinking out of her special beer glass. Don't tell her. Her and her friend, her and her best friend are so annoying. They have matching beer glasses. Anne's says her name on it. And it literally says, Anne Woods, IPA use only. Like literally on the glass. And then her friend has one with her friend's name on it.
We should get glasses.
I want glasses.
So ridiculous, but I'm drinking out of it. So there you go.
Well, cheers now.
Cheers.
Cheers.
But you know what? Let's just do this. Let's jump right into our 30-second elevator pitch of who you are. Don't get nervous. I am going to put up a timer, but it's only in fun, and I will never cut you off. You know this already. Are we ready?
Yep.
Okay. On your marks. Get set. Go.
So we met through a mutual friend years and years ago. Fast forward 4 years, that best friend actually passed away. So we connected again over grief. We were best friends for about 6 months. And then we realized that we had more feelings than that. She has 3 kids from previous relationships. I don't have any biological children of my own. And we've been together for 5 years and got married 2 years ago.
Boom. That was under 30 seconds.
Yes.
And you, yeah. Oh. You know your listeners when you're like, yes, we nailed it, we did it. Oh, yeah, I didn't tell the folks at home. You're also Patreoners. You support the show on Patreon because you are our listeners of the show. So you know what an elevator pitch is. Don't tell you. That was amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Proud of myself. You packed a lot in there, and I didn't know a lot of this, and I don't know any of this. I'm very excited to delve into your story. And you started it off with, oh my God, you met over a friend who passed away. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Do you care to tell a little bit of that story, or?
I'll let you do that one.
Yeah, she was my best friend from high school. I actually met her through D was her name. The second I met her, I was like, wow.
Like in high school?
No,
we met a couple years after, right?
2014?
Yeah, something like that. I made a promise to D that I was never allowed to sleep with her.
Uh-oh.
So yeah, fast forward a couple of years, oh, she died of a overdose.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was in a really rough spot, and Sam kind of reached out, and then we reconnected over her passing. And then she was in a relationship with a cisgendered man. She had a 1-year-old at the time. And then I didn't like kids before her kids. So I did not. Kids were not my thing. I knew I wanted kids. I just didn't want them right now.
Right.
But then we, I don't know, kept hanging out. And then eventually.
We just kind of clicked.
Yeah.
Like it just made sense.
Yeah. Yeah. We were like inseparable. And then we also like, there was stuff that like friends don't do. So like.
But not like.
Like what? Like kiss and have sex? You mean like.
No. I don't know. Like we spent more time together than we did with anybody else. Like.
Yeah.
Right.
And like we cuddled on the couch and like me being gay for as long as I have, like, I don't cuddle with my friends on the couch because
right.
I'm gay. Like you just don't right. do that.
Yeah. In my head, it just wasn't any, like, I don't know. I didn't even realize what was happening until I was like, oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And then it happened. And we call it a 4-day affair. Uh-huh. And then she left her boyfriend at the time. And so we lived in a 2-bedroom apartment with 3 kids, 2 adults for a couple of months. And then we bought our house and the rest is history.
Holy moly. Yeah. Yeah. Talk about a whirlwind. So can I ask, because you were in a hetero, how do I even say this? I can't even think of the word. You were in a hetero relationship, right?
Yes.
I can't even think of what to call it.
I had only ever been in a hetero relationship before.
Oh, okay. So how do you identify, both of you now? Like, how do you identify now? Like, what's...
I'm trans and I like blonde-haired, blue-eyed women. Glasses is a bonus.
you hit the jackpot. Cause
pretty much.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's kind of been a moving identity for me.
Mm-hmm.
Just because when we first started talking, Brooke at that time also only... identified as a lesbian. So at that time I was like, oh, okay, I'm a lesbian. And then it kind of just changed and grew from there. So now I would say pansexual, but with like specifics. If
she's,
that makes
she's
sense.
We call it AFAB pansexual. So
AFAB.
I don't know the lingo. I'm so bad at this.
I don't know. I don't know what we, what is AFAB pansexual mean?
Assigned female at birth.
Oh. AFAB pansexual. Got you.
Yeah.
Look at, see, I learned too. Yeah. Well, you know what? Identity is a moving thing, right? It's, I don't think of it as a fixed thing. I had an interesting conversation with a trans woman named Bethany who talked a lot about like how your identity in many ways is kind of defined by the person you partner up with.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's a concept that I never thought about until Bethany brought that up. Like, yeah, you're right. And it comes up when folks transition, right? So like you're in a lesbian relationship and then one of you decides, okay, well, I'm going to transition. And then your partner is like, well, wait a second. I identify as lesbian. I don't want to be seen in the world as a heteronormative couple. Right. So it's interesting how your identity is really wrapped up in who you're partnered up with.
And also it can change your relationship too, right? Like if you don't want to be with a trans person or you don't want to, like you're a lesbian and that's who you are. It's sometimes I've seen relationships fall apart because they can't transition together. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Tricky. It's tricky stuff. Also like beautiful and amazing, you know, if we can get through it and tell our stories and show up in the world in our true authentic selves, you know, that's the goal. Brooke, you were identifying as a lesbian when you first kind of had your, what'd you call it? Your
4-day affair.
4-day affair. How did that go down? Like your transition into where you're at now and then we'll get into the kids and the family and all the stuff.
I identified as non-binary for a while, and I was only microdosing testosterone. So I've listened to all of your episodes, and I think I've only heard it mentioned once, but you can microdose. So if you're non-binary,
this
you can microdose.
Yeah.
You don't have to go on a full dose of testosterone.
Huh.
So if you want to appear more masculine, you can just take half a dose or a quarter dose or whatever. I was doing that. The thing is, like, I knew I was trans. I've just been, like, I very much struggle with my transition. And I'm still struggling with it right now. But I also was just on fertility drugs for a while. And I had to detransition after being on a full dose for a year because they needed to remove my eggs.
Oh.
Yeah, I was a cisgendered female, and then I was non-binary, and then I am trans, but I just couldn't take my testosterone for almost a year because of fertility stuff. And now I'm back on it.
How was that?
So again, I've listened to all of your episodes. I had 57 eggs. I am an overachiever.
Yeah. Yeah, you are. Damn. Yeah. Congrats. Thanks. That's amazing.
And of those, 27 embryos so far. So I have 27 babies on ice.
Holy moly. Wow. Yeah. Good job. Go you.
Thanks.
Damn.
We were aiming for 8.
Yeah. I think you went a little beyond. Yeah. Overachiever is right. Yep. Oh my goodness gracious. Okay. Two questions for you. The microdosing on the testosterone, was that through a doctor?
Yes. Yeah. So
yeah. So doctors will do that, help you do that as well. That's just kind of my question.
Yeah. And we're Canadian. So, I mean, everything is, honestly, from what I've listened to, everything's a bit easier over here. If you want to do microdose, that's fine. Or if you want to fully transition, or if you want to, you know, be on a full dose for a long time and then go back to half, like your doctors are very good that way.
All right. Well, that's great to hear.
Yeah.
There's that option out there. In talking with guests this season, learned that testosterone does not affect your egg quality, which you are living proof of, like overachiever with the eggs. I mean, come on. That's amazing though. Okay. I think all of this is like mixed in together because your fertility journey and your transition seem to be coinciding together.
Yes. So it's been a lot.
Why don't you two just walk us at home through kind of your journey and like what's going on?
So we have 3 daughters. They're 12, 10, and 6. So yeah. Oof. That's fun.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
We're going through the process of adding a 4th. The 2 oldest ones are from one relationship and the youngest one is from another.
The one that you were with previous to Brooke here.
Yes.
How did that go? How was that? That was rough, right? Was that rough?
It's still rough. Like it's still not, because we have the older 2 full time. Mm-hmm. We share a week and a week with the younger one. And it's still, it's been 5 years. We're married and it's still like, he has a girlfriend. His girlfriend is pregnant with her first kid, his second kid. Mm-hmm. And he still has a grudge against me like no tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
He's just not one of those people that's like, oh, let's take our mental health into consideration and like, let's better ourselves. You know what I mean? Like, let's do the work to better ourselves as humans. Uh-huh. He's just very, I mean, you guys have your rednecks down there. We have our rednecks up here. He's a very white, cisgendered man, redneck type.
Yeah, I think he's just a little uneducated about the community and doesn't really care to
know about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's tough because you're co-parenting with him.
Yeah. We so do a how, lot of almost like reteaching.
That's tough. It's also scary, right? Because your daughter, your daughter, right? You said your daughter.
Yeah. We have 3. Yeah.
Yeah. Is getting probably information that you don't want your daughter to have or like, you know, that's tough. So how do you combat the stuff that she gets over at that house and make sure that you're instilling the things that you want to instill in her at your house, right?
Especially with my transitioning too. Like he is like, it's not even an education. It's just sometimes it's like, it's not mean, but it's just like, if you have a question, ask me, you know. He doesn't use the right pronouns and it's been a long time. So that's difficult.
Right. It's like he's not trying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Our daughter's really smart, though. Like,
yeah, she is.
she'll correct him.
Yep.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
The kids she uses the right pronouns.
Well, I've been around since she was a year old too. Like, and she's never seen me, even when I was a lesbian. Like, she's never seen me as a mom figure. Like, it's always been a dad figure. So, really, there was no reteaching for her. It was just, I'm like more identifying to what she already identified me as. If that makes sense. Mm-hmm.
It totally makes sense.
Yeah.
I hear time and time again in these interviews is that, you know, the kids take to it like fish to water, like no problem.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Great.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now we're doing that. Okay. it's the adults that have the harder time.
Yeah.
So can we talk about what was the conversation with your girls, right? So you're in one relationship, you meet someone new, and then a lot changes. So how'd that go down with the kiddos?
We just sat them down and had a conversation, and we were honest. We weren't trying to do anything malicious or wrong, right? So It wasn't hard to come up with what to say. It was just kind of, okay, so this is where we were. And then we learned something new. And in order for me to be who I am, this is what needs to happen.
Yeah. And now they're like always wanting to go to Pride events. Like, I honestly, it's so hard to picture the kids without me in their life now. Like, it's like, who would they have been if I didn't come into the picture? Yeah. Because it was so straight. It was just such a straight. And now they're like, they all have rainbow flags in their room. They're all like,
yeah, they
you know,
do.
They always ask about pronouns. They're so like,
yeah.
And like our oldest, especially like if someone uses the wrong pronoun, she's like, actually like, you know, she's on it. So yeah, they're great.
That's great.
The kids are really good.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. So they took to it.
They were like,
okay, so welcome to the family. Here we go.
Yeah.
And also I was Uncle Brooke for like 6 to 8 months beforehand. So it was like, I was in their life often enough where like they already knew who I was as a person. Yeah. That was a bit easier.
Yeah. Those relationships and the respect was already built.
Yeah.
You were a figure in their lives already.
Yes.
That's great. Yeah. Okay. So now you are in your beautiful blended family and co-parenting with one.
Yep.
Raising three.
Yep.
And gonna have another one? What are you insane?
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm totally kidding, but I get it. I totally get the wanting another one and the two of you to have one. I get it.
Yes.
Because you did touch on the fact, Brooke, that kids were not on your radar.
Not yet.
So what was the conversation around that and how'd you get to where you are now?
So I always knew that I wanted kids. I was just like, I traveled the world. Like I was very much just kind of living the best gay life, like as I've heard on this podcast before. Yeah. And so then we got together and before COVID, we were at a fertility clinic in Toronto. So we have to travel 2 hours to our fertility clinic because we're in like northeast of Peterborough, I think is the closest place that Americans might know.
Uh-huh.
And we were going there before COVID, but then COVID hit and it just like, we were learning how to be teachers. We were learning how to parent all under the same roof. Sam actually didn't want me to go to work, but we have a mortgage, so I had to go to work 2 weeks after. I truly wasn't really affected by the pandemic as a whole. All I had to
your
do was wear a mask.
Yeah.
So we were doing that and then we just kind of put it on hold because we were learning how to be teachers. We were learning how to do everything from home. And
you had three kids at home. Like,
yeah.
Oh my God.
It was closed too.
It was so hard. Yeah.
It was chaos. Yeah. We put IVF aside. And then obviously I started transitioning and taking my full dose of testosterone. And then
we kind of flip-flopped between how we were going to do it because...
Oh, yeah. I guess there's a whole backstory.
Yeah. we couldn't decide if we were going to do IUI and just use my eggs and I would carry and use a sperm donor, or if we were going to go the reciprocal IVF route and use Brooke's eggs and a sperm donor.
Right.
Yeah.
It was a decision that we had to make, and we tried the IUI actually at home.
Yeah, I was going to say 2022, we had a miscarriage last year. Mm-hmm. We were doing it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We actually used the Facebook route of finding sperm. I know that's been talked about on here.
Like known donor Facebook group route.
Well, it's like known donor, but it's not. So you sign like this. You get papers and you basically, they are signing off their parental rights and they're protecting themselves while we're protected. And you just find someone that you want on there. And so we were going every month to this guy and he was donating. And then we were doing the turkey basting in the car on the way home.
Wait. What? This just got super lesbian. Okay. So you were turkey basting in the car. Wait, you have to go into depth on that. I need more.
We were going to a parking lot to meet this guy.
Uh-huh.
And he would literally
So you met him in person.
Yes. Yeah. So we
It almost looked like a drug deal.
Yeah, it was like a drug deal.
Yeah, and he would like hand you a paper bag.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then we would drive around the corner and we would inject her right away because it was
and just drive home. Firm, like,
and then
nothing.
Drive home with her legs.
Because
like,
it was,
I would just,
yeah, because it was fresh.
Yeah.
Oh my. And you use, wait, now hold on. You use like a Mosey baby kit, right? Or like a
similar. Yeah. We got like a syringe.
I went to the pharmacy and said we're doing an at home insemination and they just gave us a syringe.
Holy shit. This is amazing.
Yeah.
This is a first. This is a first. This is like, you know, like getting pregnant in the car. Like it's such a teenager story.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was
but
fun.
The lesbian version of it. Okay. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So that was the first try and it worked.
Yeah. It was the second time with that guy that we tried and it worked.
Wow.
And then funny. We were pregnant and we were on our way to Las Vegas. And then that's when Sam miscarried. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, I'm sorry about that. That was probably, I'm sure, tough.
Yeah, it was tough. Yeah.
But then it sounds like you pivoted and you've changed kind of course with the way you're doing it. So what happened?
We kind of took it as a sign as, okay, if this obviously wasn't meant to happen this way, so why don't we go back to the clinic and see if we can use Brooke's eggs and do it that way?
Yeah, because I always wanted to. I know that you interview people and sometimes biology doesn't mean a lot. It always meant a lot to me, but I was really...
I love that. You could do this interview yourself because I was going to ask this, and I'm so glad you just took it there. Keep going, please. Keep going.
Yeah, so I always wanted my biology in the world. I really didn't want doctors. Like, I wanted it to be special between us. I mean, car in a parking lot isn't that special, but it's still between us.
Super special. What are you talking about?
Yeah. It's a story. That's super for sure.
Special. That is so good.
Yeah, biology did mean a lot to me. So we kind of just pivoted and said, okay, well, I think this is an opportunity for you to kind of see what you can do. And so funny story, well, not funny for straight people, but so in Ontario... So I don't know if you know what the OHIP is. It's Ontario Health Insurance Program or something like
so
that.
So that's like your...
That's our... Because we're fully covered, right? We don't have to pay for stuff. If you're an LGBT couple, you go to your doctor, you say you want to do IVF, and you're referred to right away. If you're a straight couple, you have to try at home for a year. And then you go to your doctor. You have to wait 6 to 8 months to get the referral in. So you're 2 years.
Yeah.
And then you can start doing IVF.
Well, that's how it is for all insurances, for no matter if you're straight or queer or whatever in the States, like in many, this is like the issue I talk about all the time.
Like gay people too?
You have to prove you're infertile. So you have to prove that you've been trying for 6 months or whatever it is. Yeah. Yeah. How do you prove that first of all?
What?
Like we tried at home, but it didn't work.
Right? Yeah, but that's like one in a lot of the insurances that are offered in the States.
Yeah.
That's one of the main stipulations. And that's one of the issues we talk about all the time. And I'm like, I've always been like, well, what's the solution here? Well, you just told me. OMG.
Yeah.
Gay people don't have to show because it's obvious that we can't.
So Ontario is crazy. It's crazy good for us, but like we didn't have to wait. We got approved in a month and I was off testosterone. And then I had to wait till I started bleeding again, obviously. And then just before we went to San Francisco, which I know is your hometown. We went to San Francisco in May.
I saw the picture. You sent me a picture. Yeah.
I ended up getting my period in San Francisco, so that was no good. So we had to wait to come back, and then I got it. So it was all in all, in total, it was less than 9 months, and my eggs are out. The only thing is, though, so the catch for Ontario is you have to pay out the ass for fertility drugs.
Mm-hmm.
So our bill, so for 27 embryos to get tested, was $6,500. Fertility drugs were $7,000.
Yeah.
Holy what?
So that's
okay. But, so they get you.
Yeah. But everything else. So like we had a counseling appointment. There's so much stuff that like before we even get to the point where my embryos are you know they're basting or whatever they're called. That Ontario, we're lucky. We're very lucky.
Yeah, like the retrieval itself was covered, and the testing on you was covered, and the transfer will be covered.
Yeah,
that's great.
Medication, that's not.
Yeah.
So you're still going to have to buy medication for you to have the transfer.
Yes.
And hopefully just, you know, the one time. Cross our fingers for that.
Oh, and another note too, we only get one transfer a year. So one transfer a year is covered by OHIP. So if this transfer that we're hoping to happen soon doesn't work, it's about $12,000 a try.
Oh, what? So that's normal.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Okay. So it really needs to work. But that's not pressure.
No, not at all.
If it works, it works. We're
We're trying not to let the pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, there's no pressure. Yeah. There's no pressure. Yeah. There's no pressure. It's going off testosterone.
Yeah.
Was that, I don't think we delved into this so much, but was that difficult for you? What was the experience? Because I've heard different experiences with that.
It was really hard because I finally plucked up the nerve to like come out to everyone. If you know me, it, like it's obvious. I'm just very much in my head. I'm a very much in my head person. So it was really, really difficult to, I came out and then they were like, oh, you have to stop your testosterone. And then, so like, I was like, I took my first shot last week again for the first time in 8 months. And like, oh my God, I feel like me again. Like I just... It was horrible because the fertility, so I was 8 months off of it and I did not, like, you can, like, my hips started getting weird and, like, I just, your sex drive, not to mention, goes way down. Like, once you're on testosterone, you're like a rabbit. And then when you stop, it's so much. So that was hard to deal with. And then the fertility drugs is what kicked my ass. So I looked I thought I looked 4 to 5 months pregnant. She said
I would say 2 to 3.
Yeah. But I looked pregnant. Like because I had so many fucking eggs.
Yeah.
Yeah. shit. I looked super pregnant.
You were bloated.
I was very bloated. And honestly, I don't think people talk about how awkward egg retrieval is. Like, it was very uncomfortable. Like, my ovaries were very sore. I was crampy. I was so constipated. Like, I felt so not myself. Not to mention, I hadn't had my period in like 2 years. So that was really hard.
That too.
Yeah.
I can only imagine.
Yeah, right? That was really hard to start getting my period again. Yeah.
To just have that experience again. Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing that sucks too is, so we're very lucky to be in Canada, but like even transgender care, it's very behind. I feel like the world is just behind. It's not just Canada. Like I feel like, you know, everywhere you go is just behind. So I feel like when I was like, hey, I'm trans, I want to start testosterone. They should have been like, hey, do you ever want to have a baby in the future? Because you should take your eggs out before you go on testosterone. And no one ever said that to me. So that was that was hard. Yeah.
There was a lot of mood swings involved too. Because the testosterone was like one set of mood. And then coming off of it and then being on fertility medication is just a whole other
ball game. And you can't cry. Goodness. I know someone has told you this. I think Stefan, who you just interviewed not too long ago.
Yeah.
He was talking about how he couldn't cry. And that is real. You cannot cry. So I knew that like this testosterone was out of my body when I was watching Ted Lasso and it was the last episode. And I just started fucking bawling.
I came home and he's just on the couch sobbing. And I'm like, what is happening right now?
Oh my God. That is insane though, right? Like, but that emotion has to come out, you know, somewhere, right? So how does it come out when you can't cry?
Yep.
That's a thing.
Yeah.
That's a thing.
It's hard. It's
Yeah. And I know I was on fertility meds. Like my wife had no reaction whatsoever to anything. And it was like, I'm fine. Yeah, I'm fine, hon. What? And me, I was a moody mess. I would just be walking down the street sobbing for no reason. I had no idea why. And I'd call my wife. Like, I don't know why I'm crying. I don't know. She just humors me. Like, it's crazy. But everybody has their own weird reactions to these crazy drugs that we are on.
Yeah.
And I think this is an important distinction to make because when you're on testosterone, the testosterone does not damage, for lack of a better term, you can say it with better language, damage the fertility, your options, your ovaries, right? But in order to harvest your eggs, you do have to go off of testosterone.
Yes.
So I just want to make that clear for listeners at home. Like it's still, I mean, you still have to go off of it for a time, but you can have been on it for a long time and you still can still freeze your eggs. It's just, you have to go off of it to do the actual procedure.
I thought you had a guest on here that said that they were only off testosterone for like a month and they froze their eggs. Wasn't that Stefan? I swear that was just the episode I listened to.
Yeah, I think it was.
And he was only off testosterone for like a month. So like that, for me, I wonder how that was able to happen, because in Canada, like Canada wide, you have to come off your testosterone and have had a period in order to get your eggs out.
And does it take a while for the for your period to come? Does that vary depending on
March, April? Yeah, it was 5 months for me.
Oh, it took 5 months. Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe there's something with that. That's something I don't know. Listeners at home, if you know the answer, let us know.
Yeah, I'd be curious to know how like he got his out at a month, because like that was not an option for me. If it was, I would have done it.
Right, because it was hard, right?
Yes.
Being off of your testosterone. You don't feel like yourself. You don't feel like yourself. Can't even imagine how awful that must feel.
And then trying to parent and be in a partnership as well, is like a whole other, it's a whole other level, right? And like we own our own house, and like I'm constantly renovating. So like there's always stress, like there's always something. So we have a very strong relationship. We're not perfect, but we've been through the ringer together.
Good work.
Yeah.
Keep it up. It's hard. It's not easy.
No.
Especially when you add kids to the mix, but you're already like a step ahead because you already have three of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And once they outnumber you, you're screwed. So it doesn't matter if we had a fourth or a fifth. We're screwed anyway. It doesn't matter.
Right. Yeah. How about your families? How are they all on board with, first of all, the relationship switch and then the transition and then also now adding new child to the picture?
Yeah, with the relationship switch, it took a little bit. Not because they didn't approve or they had any issues. It was more just a what is happening kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The kids, they're all really on board with the IVF and all of that.
Yeah, I think like our oldest is like, oh my God, I don't want, here we go again.
Been down this road before. Yeah.
But I think they all know, like they are my bonus kids and they are my kids, and like I've been around for 5 years, but like I think they know how much having a biological kid means to me, because we've talked about it. And like even like Kenna, she says she wants a younger sister, and I said, you know, we'll see what's in the mix. But like they really they're all on board.
Yeah
And our middle kid really likes babies, so she'll be great with the baby.
Oh good, perfect. Mm-hmm. And they're all going to be assholes anyway, but like at least they're like on board now.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. And it's kind of nice because our 6-year-old is turning 7 in April. So by the time that we have a baby, we'll have like a 7, maybe 7.5-year-old, which it sucks because I didn't want my baby to grow up like essentially not alone, but like, you know what I mean? Like they don't have a close sibling. Yeah. I know you wanted to have your kids close together as well, and you went through your process. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of what I wanted, but I think it's actually better because then we can appreciate all of them at their own ages and not clump them together.
There's pros and cons to both, right? Mm-hmm. But there are some wonderful pros to them being so spaced apart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Once the kid hits 5, they do seem to like, they're a little more independent, right? So then you just have the baby to deal with, and the other one, you can say, go get dressed to the older ones, as opposed to having to dress them too. Although my 5-year-old still won't dress. Like, listen, we're working on it. We're working on it.
Well, we also have to adjust too, because we're used to our freedom at this point, right? We can tell our 12-year-old to watch the kids, and we'll go out for the night, and we'll have a date night, and we'll go and do our own thing. And we are going to have to majorly adjust to not being able to leave a baby with our 12 or 13-year-olds.
Maybe not a newborn.
Yeah.
Have you prepared Brooke for this newborn life you're about to embark on?
He's a little bit in denial. But I'm working on it.
You know what? You don't know till you're there. You're never, ever, ever. Everybody warned me. And I was like, yeah, I know. Blah, blah, blah. And then you get there and you're like, okay. I get it.
So backstory is we have McKenna, who's your youngest, and she didn't sleep from ages like 1.5 to about 3.5. And she was not waking up with her ever. It was always me.
Oh, okay.
So I was up with her two or three times a night. I was up with her, and she would scream bloody murder if Sam went in the room.
Oh yeah, she wanted nothing to do with me. It wasn't because I didn't try. She just didn't want me.
That's kind of like, but that's like, that's golden because it's like, because you're bonus parent, right? So it's like, yep. It's like, feels like kind of heartwarming to both of you, I feel like. Because, like, for instance, I have this situation, this kind of situation with my son, right? My son favors my wife. It really annoys me and drives me crazy. But also, because I am the bio parent to my son,
yep.
It doesn't bother me as much as if it had been my daughter who favored my wife.
Yes.
Because she gave birth to my daughter, yes. Right? Because I'm his bio mom, I'm like, okay, that's fine because they need that bond. Anyway,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's this interesting dynamic with our families,
yep.
That comes up, right?
Yeah.
It's so funny.
I know. I wonder how she's going to be with the baby too, because like she's never had a baby that's obviously not biologically hers. Mm-hmm. So I wonder too how that's going to be, because I've had dreams where the kid comes out looking exactly like her anyway. So it's kind of annoying. If that kid comes out looking like her, I'm going to snap, because she has a twin. Our youngest, it looks exactly like her. So it's really cute. But yeah, I wonder how it's going to be when she has a kid that's not biologically hers.
I'm not worried.
I know. I'm sure you're not. No. You already have three mini-me's, right?
Yeah.
So share the love. That's pretty awesome, though. It's really amazing. And thank God for reciprocal IVF and for science, and that you have the option to do this, right?
Yep.
It's super exciting.
Yeah.
It's a really cool concept.
I love this.
Yeah. Yeah. And we have 27 tries, so hopefully that's enough.
If that doesn't work, then I have no faith in science anymore.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. Actually, I know. Actually, wait, I should be a little more sensitive because I know there are some folks who have really tried many, many times.
Yeah.
It doesn't always work out.
And that could be us too, right?
All my love.
Yeah.
Yes.
That could, really,
true.
It could. I could have all the eggs and all the embryos and it was all good that way. But if they go in her and it doesn't work, then, you know, we'll just kind of see how that goes.
And that is also a fact of our families. We do have to put our faith in science in many instances. Mm. And also, we also have to prepare ourselves for the possibility of it not working.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So
our doctor is amazing. So we there's two doctors that work in the clinic, and he's an older guy, and it's crazy, but he's the only one who got my pronouns right. So the nurses were actually sending me to the women's bathroom, and I was like, what the fuck? So it was, was different, but like the doctor was the only one who got my pronouns right. And he's a really good doctor. So
that's
hopefully
good.
It works.
I do want to hone in on one more thing, because you talked about being misgendered at the clinic and being directed to the wrong bathroom.
Yeah.
Are there any moments that you want to share? Let's talk about the queer conundrums, as I'm calling it, the shitty shit we go through when folks are not informed enough about our identities and just queerness in general.
Yeah, I think honestly, like, I'm going to use some French slang here, but they're just very fucking uneducated. Like the whole healthcare system, like if you see someone, ask what their pronouns are. Like how, like it's not difficult. Meet someone new. What are your pronouns? Okay, let me write that on your sheet and we will make sure that we send you it. And if we only have, because it was the ultrasound area. So like obviously whoever's there has a uterus. Fair.
Right.
Not all people with uteruses are women. So let's have a gender neutral bathroom if that's the case.
Right.
I am going to, after everything is done, there's just a lot going on right now, but when everything is done, I know that you had like two powerhouse people. I don't know how.
Amanda and Gab.
Yes. Yeah. And they wrote like a letter and they like switched everything and like go them. Like that is amazing. Mm-hmm. And I want to do something similar to just say, hey, FYI, like this is something you should change. I don't know if we'll have the time or the, not even that, but I'm not very good at writing letters. So
I do want to make this clear. It is not your responsibility.
No.
Right? It is not your responsibility to fix their ignorance.
Yeah.
I understand like wanting to, and I also understand how difficult that can be.
Yeah.
It's not fair that it's on you or us to do that. But yeah, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's unfortunate, that you had to experience anything.
Yeah.
One of these days, hopefully. You know, that's not the case.
Well, and honestly, like we're in Canada. So like, the stuff that's going on in the States, it just fucking blows my mind. Like it's crazy because it's starting to trickle. So basically whatever happens in the States always kind of trickles its way up to Canada. So I feel like everything that's going on is like in New Brunswick, there was the first anti-trans law. put into place. So if you're changing your pronouns at school, the teacher has to tell your parents. And that's just priming us.
It's like the blueprint has been created, right? And it's created so that now whoever wants to can just copy and paste. That's what it feels like.
In New York, it's pretty good though still, right? Like,
but it's spreading like wildfire. And I don't know all of it. I just know that we're on attack.
Yeah.
Right? So.
Yeah, I feel like it's like back in the day where like that's kind of why I'm scared to like I run my own business and I work with a lot of men and like it's hard because I'm still coming out all the time and it's hard because like there's like some sort of level of I know that I've heard old lesbians or old people, older generation, there's a level of shame that you have that the new generation just doesn't have. They're just like, this is who I am and this is me. Take it or leave it. But like our generation is just, there's still some shame behind it. So it's hard.
100%. 100%. And I don't know if I will ever shed my internalized homophobia. You know, I don't know. Because that shit runs deep. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It really does. But I keep saying, the children are going to change the world. Come on, kids. Come on, kids.
They're not going to put up with shit.
Right. And hopefully, you know, those in power don't get to go as far as they want to go with the hatred that they're spewing here.
We'll see.
I don't know. It is a scary time.
Yeah, we're very lucky to be Canadian.
Yeah.
Very lucky.
Yeah, you are.
Very lucky.
Yeah. Well, I am really sorry that you had to experience any biases or misgendering or anything at your clinic. And, you know, one of these days, that's why we have to keep telling these stories.
Yeah. Well, and honestly, like I am, like, I just don't have it in me to write a letter now. I just want to be done. Sam's pregnant. Everything is good. Happy, healthy baby. And then I will reach out and say, hey, just so you know, like we were in this with you guys, but you need to educate yourselves more, or even just have a sheet and say, like we were filling out the papers.
Yeah.
So she's essentially a surrogate. She is
that
is crazy.
You have to basically like sign the paper saying, yes, I'm a surrogate. Yes, I agree. No, I won't have any feelings for this baby. All that stuff, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you have to sign up as a surrogate, which is not like, can we redo this here? Because you're forgetting about a huge percentage of folks who use reciprocal IVF.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? And that's not fair.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, we're lucky though when the baby's born, we have no, I know you guys have to do like second parent adoption and all that. Mm-hmm. We don't. Mm-hmm. So there's just two people on the birth certificate or one person and that's it.
And that holds up like in a court of law.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. We're.
That's good.
But so the catch though is she can't go on the birth certificate unless I'm on the birth certificate because of biology.
Oh.
So I have to go on the birth certificate, but the only way she can go on it is with me. She can't go on as an individual person without lawyers, papers and all that stuff.
Because you're technically a surrogate.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So many crazy loopholes that we go through.
Yeah. Right? We have two parents on the birth certificate though. It's not mom or dad. It's just two parents.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Look at that.
Who would have thought, eh?
Who would have thought, eh? Go ahead, Kanadia. Go ahead.
I apologize and I did an A. Here we go. Welcome.
Oh my God. It's really amazing. And listen, any listeners at home who want to help write this letter, go for it. Because these two have their hands full right now.
Yeah, please just send me a draft and I'll write my name.
Yeah. That's like us. I wish people would just send all my drafts to me.
Yeah, it'd be great.
But yeah. I'm so happy you reached out to tell this beautiful story. And I love that you've got your bonus parent situation and it's working out and you're having such a wonderful life together. And I'm so happy you found each other.
Yeah. And I have to this podcast has helped so much through our journey. Like you have no idea. I've gone back and I've re-listened to episodes. I was like, okay, right. We've got to do this, this, and this. And like, it has helped a lot.
It's taught us a lot.
Yeah, it really has. This podcast means a lot to us.
Oh, I'm going to cry. I mean, if my podcast helped you inseminate in a car, like I feel like my life's work is done.
This is the last episode. Take care, guys.
That's awesome. Well, I appreciate you and I appreciate you supporting this show on Patreon. It really does mean the world. I couldn't do it without you. I really couldn't. But I really do appreciate you. And I'm invested, as I say all the time. Yep. So you got to keep me posted and send me pictures and all the stuff.
We will keep you posted when we are 3 months pregnant and the baby is staying.
Yeah. Don't jump the gun.
Yep.
It's just take it one day at a time. Yeah. I wish you all, I'm sending baby dust. Everybody at home is sending baby dust.
Thank you.
And we wish you all the luck in the world.
Thank you, Jamie.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, I love you guys.
Queer Family Podcast.
Well, folks, I really hope you enjoyed that episode. I know I did. If you did like it, go ahead and listen to another one. Or watch another one. We have so many for you to choose from. So just go click on one and do it. And also don't forget that I do have merchandise. So if you love this show and you want to represent queer families in all our goodness, go to tpublic.com/thequeerfamilypodcast and look at all the designs I have there and put them on any of the products that are in the store. They're all beautiful. And I'd love you to wear some of our merchandise. So just go ahead and do that. And thanks so much for tuning in yet again. And please keep tuning in. I'll see you next time. Thanks again.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big.